The hardest thing for me to do though was to, you know, to quit, you know, the fear I had because of the many D boards and the many things that I did in a gang life to many people that try to get out. Many people are afraid, they're paralyzed, they want to leave the gang because they're afraid because of what they've seen.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear the rest of Thomas Ranville's story. Thomas was a fighter and a gang enforcer who was trapped in anger and bitterness. But as we'll hear today, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, God can set you free.
The Lord blessed me with a home, but I turned that home into a clubhouse for the gang. My brother knew about it, and he asked his pastor to pray for me. And from there, you know, God started to do work within my heart. New Year's of 2004, we had a party. There was a lot of booze. I was drinking, starting to get drunk. Trying to pop pills, drinking a lot of whiskey, and you know, I couldn't get drunk. And then, you know, and the Lord showed me, He showed me the wickedness in people. The wickedness that when they get under the influence of alcohol, it's just like puppets used by the enemy. You know, and the blood on the walls, and seeing those young people laying on the, after they get beat up, they got dragged to a room, and then they got left there until they came back and beat on them some more. That happened all night long. There was about 30 of us in there, 40, until, you know, that they were unrecognizable. Some of the things that I seen in there that night really made me think about the gang life. That could have been me, you know, laying there all busted up by another, if I walked in to another gang clubhouse, that could have been me sitting there, because I was a gang member that was being beaten and tortured. And when the police came in, they broke the door down, arrested some gang members that night. We kept on drinking, though. The next morning, the cops came there again because one guy escaped. He jumped through the window, minus 35, and very cold that night. The wind was blowing. You know, I don't know how he survived. If somebody found him leaning in the snowbank, and they found his blood trail, they followed it, and it led to the clubhouse. And then the cops came to the door, and they said they were coming with a warrant. So, you know, they just came in, found those young people, took them out on an ambulance, stretcher. And that one cop said if he would have been laying there another half hour, he would have been dead. They hooked him up to a machine in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and he was brain dead. You know, he was bleeding from the ears. They said they were going to unplug the machine. They were going to come and pick us all up. They let me out of the drunk tank because they couldn't charge none of us because we never wrote a statement or anything. But, you know, there was so much evidence that they could have put us away for a long time. I went back home, and as I was cleaning the blood, busted beer bottles, that's when I got, you know, a revelation of the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I seen it. Everything that God has given to me, you know, I turned around, I took it for granted, and, you know, I was about to lose it all. It took me 5 or 6 hours to clean up all that blood. Busted beer balls and blood on the wall, and yet I still couldn't clean the blood off the wall. But you know what? I was just so sick. So sick, man. That lifestyle. So sick and tired of that life. There had to be something better. They say there's no way out of a gang unless you be tortured, killed. But I disagree with that. In that clubhouse, I accepted the Lord. I accepted Jesus into my heart. I tried many things. I tried many religions. I tried many things. But nothing could give me that peace. Nothing could give me that joy. Nothing could release me. My heart was in a prison of misery. But amen, I found Jesus, and He holds the key. He says in His word, when the Son has set you free, that you're free indeed. And that's what He did in my life. You know, He set me free from that prison. You know, He set me free and He gave me that joy. He can come into any place. He can come into that cell that you're at. He can come into the clubhouse of any gang. It doesn't matter how dark, you know, of sin that you're in, that He will make a way in there. He spoke into my heart, you choose whom this day you're going to serve. You're going to serve the God of this world, or you're going to serve me, because it says in the Word of God, you know, that if you continue in your sin, you will perish. You know, and you know, that's when I said to myself, man, you know, well, God, if you're the God that you say you are, the sovereign God that you are, take this mess of a life for a message. Let this young man live. And the Lord raised him up. The Lord let him live. You know, He showed me the sovereignty and the love and the mercy that He has. You know, the forgiveness, no matter what I did. You know, and He can forgive every gang member out there. He can forgive you. It doesn't matter. You know, and as I gave my life to the Lord, and all those gang members came to my home, and I said, you know, this is it. I'm not doing this. It's not the clubhouse no more. This is it. I'm done. They all laughed at me, and they said, you won't last 1 month. That was December 2004. In October 2005 is where I got, you know, delivered from the spirit of fear, the spirit of alcoholism. The hardest thing for me to do, though, was to, you know, to quit, you know, the fear I had because of the many D-boards and the many things that I did in the gang life to many people that try to get out. Many people are afraid, they're paralyzed, they don't want to leave the gang because they're afraid because of what they've seen. Yeah, one night as I sleep and my wife come and woke me up and said there's some people all standing around outside. So I got up and I looked out through the window, and sure enough there was gang members all around outside my place contemplating or planning how they're going to come and do a home invasion in my home, getting up the courage to do what they got to do. My 14-year-old daughter was there. My wife was there. You know, I was afraid, you know, that, you know, my daughter would be, you know, my wife, you know, and I'd be, you know, having to see it and being tortured and beaten up and killed. Well, you know, but, you know, I cried out to God. I said, Lord, I give you my life. And I just opened up to the Psalms, you know, and I started to pray. And sure enough, man, they couldn't come. They couldn't come near my place. They could just stand there, but they couldn't come in. They couldn't come to my door. They couldn't come up on that deck. All of a sudden, they just started jumping in their vehicles, and they started to leave. They never came back. You know, and I really believe, man, that God did something in the supernatural realm. With our natural eyes, we cannot see it. But what God can do, man, it says in the Word of God that no weapons formed against thee shall prosper. That He will command His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And He's going to fulfill that plan, because it says, be confident in His very thing. He begun a good work and He shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, and I believe, you know, that He's going to perform it. It's just a privilege and an honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. You know, I just thank God, you know that He's the way out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They say there's no head of the gang. Well, John 14:6 says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the hardest thing for me to go was into a church, because I was afraid people were going to judge me because I was a gang member. But you know, when I walked into that church, I was met by this little old lady. You know, and she gave me a hug and said, "Welcome." You know, when I felt the love of God for the first time in my life. Many of you right now are looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for it in the gang life. You're looking for it in drugs. But man, all you need to come is into the family of God. You'll find that peace and that love. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Maybe you can't sleep good at night. Maybe you sleep with the light on. Maybe you sleep tossing and turning. There's nothing that can deliver you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because I know I'm a living testimony. They only gave me 1 month to live. They only gave me 1 month to stay sober. But I tell you today, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, and I believe in you. I believe in you, man, that doesn't matter where, how you started off in this race. You know, maybe you started off, you made some bad decisions. But you know, we got a loving Father in heaven, you know, that He doesn't look at you with evil. Because it says in His word, you know, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you hope in the future." See, that's what He wants. He loves you so much that He sent His only Son to come and die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And when we stand in front of God, just like we stand in front of a judge when we go to court, we're going to stand in front of God just like that, and we're going to give an account for everything we've done in our life. And He's going to look into this book of life. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire. But you know, today you can lawyer up with Jesus. Because when you go to court, you need a lawyer to speak to the judge for you. And that's what we need when you stand in front of this God. He's going to see the blood. He's not going to see you for what you've done. When He slams that hammer down, He's going to say, "Case dismissed. I don't remember one sin that you have done." That's the mercy and the grace. He still extends His love and, you know, His hands out. Today you can make it right, man. Because it says, "Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new." The old is gone, the new has come. You can be a brand new man in Christ Jesus today. Just put your faith and your trust in Him, what He's done at Calvary. Because He's done it for me, man. And I know He can do it for you.
If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. And you can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.